In the season of Lent, we make an effort. We renew our efforts to return to the Lord, to turn away from sin, to do better. And on Fridays of Lent in particular, we deny ourselves. We abstain from meat. We take on practices of self-discipline. Nobody forces us to do this. We recognize the value of it, and we recognize the advantage of having everybody do it at the same time. It's a season of grace, an opportunity for deeper conversion. Of course, our nature doesn't like it, but that's the way human nature is. But our better self, our better judgment knows we can do better, and we should do better. We also know we haven't done better, and even when we try, we don't do a very good job of it. So we have this awareness of a responsibility to pursue holiness, and at the same time an awareness of our failure to be holy, and also our weakness when it comes to holiness. Even when we decide against sin, we have a tendency to fall back into it. That's why the self-discipline of Lent is very important, because if we can't say no to a merienda or a piece of a meat, well, how can we say no to temptation? So we have to train ourselves to be in charge and not let our nature with all its disorders run our life. Now, all this is actually just common sense, but we live in a world that is not run by common sense. We live in a world where the foundations of common sense have been badly shaken. And so a lot of times our thinking, and modern thinking in general, is quite confused, even contradictory. So, for example, in the last, 50 or 60 years, a certain school of thought became popular, known as behaviorism. Maybe you know behaviorism. The idea was we are not really free to be any different than we are. All our behavior is the result of stimuli. So if, that's right, people say, well, if you're raised that way, well, then that's why you behave that way. Famous book, I think it came out in the 60s, that is representative of this school of thought, is the book called Beyond Freedom and Responsibility. Beyond Freedom and Responsibility, meaning we're not really free and we're not really responsible. So a certain there's a certain mindset that says, well, we behave the way we do because of circumstances in our life. You're here in church because you were raised in a religious family, or you had something happen in your life that made you think you have to turn to God, and so you don't really have any choice. Just because it's Lent, and just because you think you freely decided to get up and go to Mass on Friday morning, it's really just a learned behavior. I don't think many people think this strictly anymore, because it goes so against our own experience, it goes against common sense. But people do tend to take on this idea when they want to excuse themselves for what people would think is bad. They say, well, I couldn't help it. That's the way I was raised. That I can help it. That's how I am. And typically, people use this idea of behaviorism to excuse bad behavior, but they don't use it when they want to get credit for good behavior. No one says, oh, I couldn't help but do that good thing. I couldn't help it. I was raised that way. No, people say, oh yeah, I really made an effort and I accomplished something good. So if we're not free and if we're not responsible, then we don't get any credit either, just like we don't get any blame. Okay, so that's one way of thinking that has a certain place in the modern world. But then on the opposite extreme, and I think this is more prevalent now in the third millennium, is the idea that there isn't any real solid good or bad. Everything depends on what we decide. So it's the opposite of the behaviorism, where there's no freedom or responsibility. To this other extreme, there's absolute freedom. And you decide for yourself what reality is. You decide whether you're a man or a woman. You decide what marriage is. You decide what the meaning of your life is. You decide what's good and what's bad. You decide for yourself. And there's no basis for it. It's completely up to you. Well, that's a very attractive error, because it makes us into God. We decide for ourselves, kind of a self-idolatry. It's not true, but there's something to both of these. Yes, we are influenced by circumstances. We are. Our behavior is affected by what happens to us. And now we can see this in the campaign period. Candidates know if they flood the media with pictures of their smiling face, they'll get more votes. Not because people think of it, but because that happens. It just works. It's a kind of behavior stimulus response reaction. If you get enough exposure, you get more votes. It's not a rational behavior. It's a learned behavior. So that there is something to it. But there's also something to the idea that we have responsibility and we can decide for ourselves what we are and what we do. It's not absolute. We can't decide whether we're a man or a woman. That's already been decided by God. But we can decide what we do. And we are morally responsible. So that's where I think these readings help us recognize our limits and our freedom, our responsibility and our weakness. Here's the prophet Ezekiel puts it pretty clearly. A bad person, a wicked man, can change his ways. He can leave sin behind and start to do what's good. He can make that decision. And God loves that. He says, do I rejoice when the wicked die in their wickedness? No, I rejoice when he turns from his evil way and lives. That's what God wants. But God doesn't force the wicked man to become good. So that's the first option, a wicked man becoming good. But then the second option is, well, what about the virtuous man who turns from the path of virtue and does what is evil? Well, then the Lord says, well, I don't want that, but if he makes that decision to do the same thing that wicked people do, well, then he dies. Well, that's his own responsibility. It makes sense to us, but we also don't like that idea that if we do something wrong, we'll be held responsible. So the reaction, as Ezekiel points out, is, well, that's not fair. The Lord's way is not fair. Now, when we turn from evil and do good, and the Lord accepts us, we don't say that's not fair. We think that's a good thing. We think it's good that the Lord be merciful. But when we turn from evil, when we turn from good and do evil, and the Lord holds us responsible, then we say the Lord's not fair. You see where the unfairness is? It's in us. We think that we can excuse our bad behavior and we should get credit for good behavior. That's why I mentioned that partial use of behaviorism. We can excuse bad behavior because somebody else's fault, or it's just because of circumstances. But when it comes to good behavior, we should get the credit. We're responsible. No, we're responsible for our decisions, our moral decisions. That's the point of this passage from Ezekiel. It's our decisions that determine whether we are rewarded or punished. God doesn't force us to be good, and he doesn't prevent us from being evil. He leaves us free. And With freedom comes responsibility. So I mentioned that book, Beyond Freedom and Responsibility. No, there isn't any such thing. We are free, and so therefore we are responsible. Now, since we're responsible, we have to look within ourselves to see whether we are doing, whether our motives and our behavior are good or bad. And this is along the lines of what we see in today's gospel. Jesus is pointing out to us, it's not enough simply to do good things. It's not enough to have the righteousness of the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees followed the law very, very well. But they weren't good men. They were self-righteous and proud. They were not relying on God. They were claiming credit for their own goodness. So Jesus says, well, go beyond the Pharisees. In fact, if you don't surpass the holiness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a little bit frightening, isn't it? To say, if we don't surpass the holiness of the scribes and Pharisees, of the good, the righteous, then we won't even enter the kingdom of heaven? Doesn't it seem like that might be saying it's really impossible to be good enough to get into heaven? And the fact is, yeah, we can't be good enough to get into heaven. We can't make ourselves good enough to get into heaven. We've already messed it up, and we tend to mess it up again and again. So even though we're free, and even though we're responsible, we're also fallen. So we can't just do it on our own. So as I said, God leaves us free, but he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He allows us to decide, but then when we decide for good, he helps us. And when we decide for evil, he tends to try to prevent us from going further down the wrong path. It's the work of grace. Now in today's gospel, Jesus tells us to look deeper into what's behind our behavior. It says, yes, you shall not kill. That should be obvious. Although with the war in Ukraine, we see that it's not obvious, that it's possible for people to make decisions to kill, unjust decisions. It's possible for people to decide to invade a country and try to take it over. And for whatever justifications in their own mind, that's clearly evil. Okay, so, but it should be obvious that that's evil. But then he says, well, don't stop there. What about this problem of anger? Anger against a brother, using nasty words to describe a brother, or uncharitable language, insults. What about that? We look into ourselves and we say, well, yeah, maybe I haven't killed anyone, maybe I haven't started a war, but on the other hand, I have used words that are fighting words. I've used my power of speech in a wrong way, and I have harbored in my heart a wrong sentiment toward people whom God loves, so I'm at fault. What is Jesus say in the remedy? Okay, reconcile. Reconcile with your brother. Forgive those who have offended you. Don't let your heart be turned against people whom God loves. And we say, I don't know if I can do that. I can avoid war. I can avoid, for the most part, killing anybody, but it's pretty hard not to be angry at somebody who's really been bad to me or has insulted me. Can't I insult him back? And this is where we need the help of grace. This is where we need the discipline of Lent. This is where we need fasting. And say, well, no, we don't have to react according to our nature. We don't have to. It might come naturally to us to answer back, but we don't have to do that. We're free. If we rely on grace And if we trust in the mercy of God, we can say, okay, no. Even if we do react, we can repent. It's a hopeful message, not an impossible one. It's a recognition that we are weak, but strength is available to us, because mercy is available to us, because God is on our side. God does not derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked. He wants us to live, and he makes it possible for us. So as we continue our journey of Lent, we do our part. We make the decision to follow the Lord, to turn away from sin. But we also are entirely dependent on the grace that makes it possible for us to make this progress. So with confidence in God and not in ourselves, we continue our journey following the Lord.